This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
We are glad that you're here. We're in this series called Family Values, and we've been looking at these family values, shared beliefs that establish our priorities, guide our decisions, determine how we treat one another. And we've been taking points from our family constitution and going through them each week. And today we're talking about, on the Super Bowl of Serving Sunday, serve the local church. And this is a passion of ours. We taught this to our kids. And I want to jump right into Hebrews today and remind you why you're here. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Gathering with God's people is important. When we gather, this isn't just worship, it isn't just teaching, but it's encouraging one another and spurring one another on. And that's why we shouldn't give up on meeting together. I don't know if you watched a few weeks ago on that snow day when I was in here teaching alone to an empty room. I ain't gonna lie to you, I hate it. I absolutely hate going straight to camera, and it was pretty obvious when you watched it. I had a little bit of an attitude in doing it. Why? Because I want to be here with you. There is purpose for us gathering as God's people, and we should never give up on this. And actually, we should be prioritizing this. As we told our kids as they were growing up, this is something we plan for during the week. Sunday isn't just a how are we feeling? Do we have anything left in the tank? What else do we have going on? Can we sit this one out? No, we prepare during the week because a Sunday morning decision is made earlier in the week. So we don't give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. And so today, when you gather with other believers in Christ Jesus, you should be encouraged in your ministry. You should be encouraged in what God has called you to do in the places that he's placed you around the community and around Southwest Missouri and Northwest Arkansas to serve. So the line in our family constitution, it's number 8. We simply say, we will love, support, and serve our church. And mom and dad, if you want your children to love Jesus and the bride of Christ, they need to see that in you. That's what this whole series has been about. Mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa, what's on your hearts? Because what's on your heart will find its way onto the heart of your child. Mom and dad, you're the primary author of your child's heart. We read in Acts 2 that the first church, the first century church, they devoted themselves to this gathering. What does the word devote mean? It means give all or a large part of one's time, resources to a person, activity, or cause. We say around here, inspiring the family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. He has our undivided allegiance. And here's what we read. They, first century church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, so much to the point that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. The gathering was about taking care of one another and the physical needs of one another. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I believe when you leave here today, no matter what you've had to deal with, no matter what sin you need to repent, that you should do business with the Lord today as you gather with God's people so that you can leave refreshed and renewed in Christ Jesus with glad and sincere hearts. And this is why when people will say, I don't go to that church, they enjoy each other too much. I don't want the alternative. I don't want you leaving going, that was a miserable place to be. They don't like each other there. They don't get along there. Scripture goes on to say, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then this is key. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In other words, as a church, we never want to focus on growth. We never want growth to be our priority. We want health to be our priority. We want to make sure we're fulfilling the purposes of God for this church. And we leave the growth up to him. I was talking to one of my dearest friends this week. His initials are Alex Amaya. We love Alex around here. Alex and I are two very different individuals. And as we were talking about our churches and everything going on in the world around us, he said, you know, you're really kind of unique in the fact that it doesn't seem like you want your church to grow. I go, I work very hard to try to get us back to a 9 and 11 service time situation. It's not always effective. And he goes, it's just crazy to me. I go, I'll be honest with you. I said, if we stay focused on health, we let God determine the size of the church. And I would love for him to determine a smaller church for Woodland Hills Family Church, if I'm being honest with you. 9 and 11, those are the sweet times. But I want you to get that if we will stay focused on spurring one another on to love and good deeds, and if we would stay focused on encouraging one another, serving one another, following scripture in the driver's seat of our lives and of this church, worshiping the Lord together, telling the lost about Jesus, that this church will be whatever God wants it to be. Let's stay focused on health and not growth. And so this morning, we're going to honor those who serve. We're going to, call people to serve. But we want to spend some time thanking those who serve so faithfully. And so we do honor you for prioritizing gathering. Many of you, this is a priority. You're here every week, but you've not taken the next step. And the next step is serving. And so we want to invite you to begin serving. You saw in the video, if you were here when it ran before the service, that we have 1,200 active volunteers at Woodland Hills. On Sunday, it takes just over 400 to make it happen. As you walked in here today, you passed volunteers, you dropped your children off with volunteers, you were served coffee by volunteers, someone took you in the golf cart, whatever the case may be, there's volunteers, about 400 of them across campus. And you've heard it said that for a church, typically 80% of the people are doing 20% of the work. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. I'm so grateful that that is not true for our church. We have far more than 20% making it happen. And so, you know, we talk a lot around here about what happens on a Sunday morning, but I want to spend just a moment making you aware of the serving opportunities that are available all throughout the week at our church. It's not just what happens on Sunday, but it's all throughout the week. We have growing student and young adult ministries, and they meet on Wednesday nights. They gather here on campus, sometimes off campus, to enjoy fellowship, worship, teaching, and ministry with their peers and ministry leaders, and it takes an amazing team to pull this off. We also offer on-campus classes twice a year in the fall and in the spring, and all of these classes offer hospitality. Our greeters and leaders are faithful to these classes. We have ongoing home groups and mentoring groups like Marriage 911 that are happening year round. Chris actually just came up to me and said, I love our church, but I think I can't tell you how much I love that Saturday morning men's group and what it's doing in his life. As you can imagine, with the campus like ours, we highly value our facilities team. Let's hear it for our facilities team. They keep our campus clean and safe and up to date. We love them and the volunteers that make it happen. We also have many active volunteers who serve in our church office, helping keep our records up to date and staying in touch with church members, following up with guests. Our care team meets the needs of people all throughout the week, making hospital visits and hospital calls, praying with people throughout the week. On Thursdays, we have a group called Prep Club. They come in and prepare all the handouts, take home, and activities in the children's ministry. So if you're grateful that your kids are snacking on goldfish today, thank the Prep Club. They're the hands and feet of this church, and they do whatever it takes to get it done. Would you help me thank all the volunteers I just mentioned? And it isn't even all of them. If you are currently serving, if you're not serving and interested in plugging in and serving, I want to encourage you this morning, stop by one of the Sweet Spot booths that are located out in the courtyard. And even if you just have questions, just stop by and ask. We also have a Sweet Spot class that's coming up on Wednesday, February 5th at 6:30 p.m. I want to invite you to be a part of that if you have more questions. But today, we want to honor these guests, and I want to do some giveaways. We were told to wear our Woodland Hills merchandise today since nobody wanted to get their Chiefs gear out of the closet. I have an awesome Chiefs hoodie that just has sat there and sat there and sat there. If you have started serving this church in the last year, we have giveaways here in the courtyard and over at the chapel. But if you've started serving in the last year, would you stand and remain standing for me? Hey, let's hear it for them. We got a Packers fan right up here in the front. All right. You ain't got a lot to cheer for, so I'm going to give you that right there. And then, look, I'm going right down here to the front row. Yeah, you can trade that in if it's not the size you want. If you serve at Woodland Hills for however long, would you stand and join those that are standing right now so we can honor you and say thank you this morning? Stay standing. Who over here wants us to buy their pizza for the game tonight? All right, I'm going to go. Ah, Virginia, I think you can catch that. Oh, rip it out of his hand like those adults do with children at baseball games. Just rip it out. Okay. All right. Thank you for serving. And now, if you have served this church for more than 20 years, will you stay standing and the rest of you may be seated? More than 20 years. All right. Look around the room. One more giveaway from them. Bart, come running down. Come running down. Come on. Whoa. Whoa. Hey. Hey, it's getting out of control. Hey. Who else? Bart, I said, come here and get one of these. There you go. He's been serving a lot of time. Congratulations, Bart. There you go. All right. So, all right. You know, I actually was laughing. I don't know if you saw. Did anybody see the piece of confetti fall from the ceiling while Cole was leading worship? It's down here somewhere. That was years and years ago. We did a series called Love Like Confetti. And Cortland sat up in a space about that wide through all of our gatherings, so that I brought a member of the church up. One of them was Pat Kershaw, who's with the Lord now. And we just kind of threw a little impromptu party for her. And Cortland threw an overwhelming amount of confetti out of the ceiling onto each person. And years later, in the middle of great moments, we don't know, we thought we got it all, but it is still up there for the rest of the world to, and it just so float from time to time. But when that floated down in front of Cole, I just said, thank you, Cortland, for taking the hit and serving that Sunday. I want to say thank you to all. We asked some people this week where they serve, and Kay said, I've been serving Marriage 911 for a year, the Welcome Team 3 years. Danielle said, Critter Street Welcome Center for 4 years. Neela, I've been in the office for 11 years. Nikki said, with the kids for 4 years, Welcome Team 2 years. Sonia said, Marriage 911 for 5 years. Chrissy's been doing tech for 4 years. I love what Kevin Allen over there who plays guitar, said, I've been playing in the band for a little while and I love it. He's been playing that guitar at our church for going on 24 years. And I love his humility in sharing that. Josh said, I've been playing the drums about 16 years. Tori played piano and crew music for 8 years. Cole, I've been with the worship team, which is the best team, for the past 2 years. Casey's been a greeter for 4 years. Marcia, worship team, around 15 years. Lisa with the prep club and hospitality. Karen Yalali, marriage 911 team for 17 years at our church. Sophie, 10 years between Critter Street and Wildwoods. Blake, Wednesday night student leader. Ellie, Critter Street 2 years. Wildwood 6 years. Hospitality 2 years. Brad says, I've been playing drums with the kids in crew for 20 years. So we say thank you. All of you who show up faithfully to serve. And your kids last week and this week have been handed these cards. Just an opportunity, Mom and Dad, for you to sit down with them. This is an opportunity for, it says you rock, but it's just to say thank you for showing up and being faithful in serving in the ministry. We are grateful. In Romans 12:10, we read, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And that's what we desire to do every Super Bowl of Serving Sunday. You are responsible before God for how you use your time, talents, and resources. That's where we want to move into today. In 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have been equipped with spiritual gift, with a spiritual gift or a gift mix. And that is not about leveraging that to your benefit and blessing, but it's about leveraging that to the blessing of other people. When I get asked on the road from singles, how do I know I'm ready for marriage? I say it every single time. You are ready for marriage when you can get up in the morning and think about someone other than yourself. When you can wake up in the morning thinking about how not you're just going to meet your needs, provide for yourself, care for yourself, have fun, you know, and enjoy life all by yourself or with a group of friends, but you get up and you're thinking about another person and ultimately more than one other person down the road, that's how you know you're ready. But some of us know we get into these modes in seasons and stages of life where we get very selfish and we get very entitled and we think, I did my part. I've got too much going on. I don't need to serve. If you walk in here today or on this campus today or you're joining us online and you have a moment where you just like, I've just all week been thinking about myself, thinking about meeting everything I want to do and taking care of myself. Let me tell you, as we talk today, serving is the antidote to that selfishness and entitlement. To get outside of yourself. We gather and serve. And now for some of you that aren't serving at our church right now, I want to start by giving you some ways that you can serve, even in the gathering. For some of you, I'm going to encourage you to give up your parking space. You're like, but I get here early to get it. But Ron, who's in full Chiefs gear at the 8:15, he has mobility issues. He's in his 80s. And I want you to think about when you pull into express parking, it's not just about giving you express out of here, but it's about freeing up space out here for a guy like Ron, right? Even when we're parking, we can be thinking about others. That only applies at the church, though, not at Target or at Walmart. It's every man for himself at a store or a restaurant. And you can cut people off. You can beat them to the spot. We're talking about when we act Christian at church. No, you know I'm being sarcastic. But you can sacrifice. Think about how easy that is to think about someone else in parking. All right, 10, here we go. We got, you know this is coming. Some of you are like, I knew it. I knew you were going to go after us for being here at 10. Here it is. You can also give up this service, this gathering, for someone else. Now, I want to be real clear. If you have mobility issues, park right out here. That's what we want for you. If you're in here right now because you're serving at another service, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking about the sacrifice that it takes to go to 11:45. You don't have to do it right now, but the 11:45 or the 8:15. Wouldn't that be great, though, if right now I said, get up! Leave, come back at 11:40, then we'd have another problem. But you know what I mean. There are some in here that can make that decision. They can make that sacrifice and say, that's how I'm going to serve my church next week. I think that's a pretty light lift. Can also give up your seat. I love nothing more than giving up my seat and saying, here, take it. And this couple, this family came and sat down. There's three people sitting in two seats. Where we got? We got any other seats right here? Okay, anyway, I love it. Good job, buddy. But I'm just saying, what an opportunity. And I know we're like, hey, I got here early to save these seats. I got family coming in from out of town. But thinking through, maybe I go to another venue. What can you do to sacrifice? And this brings us to one of the central teachings on serving that Jesus gives us. You remember when James and John came to him and said, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory? Talking now about authority and power, and when the kingdom is established, right, you're going to need some high power guys. Put me here, put him there. What did Jesus say to them? You don't know what you are asking. You've got this all wrong. This is all backwards. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And then we read, Jesus is very clear, in this moment, and the disciples were always creating teaching moments for Jesus, he gathers them together, he calls them together and says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And Jesus says, not so with you. That's not how my kingdom works at all. I was thinking as Cole was talking about that first song, Our God is an Awesome God. When I graduated from college about 30 years ago, I went to South Georgia, church about 150, 200 people to work with my best friend, Austin Deloach. He was 27, I'm 22, hired me as an associate. I get down there and he goes, hey, I don't know if we said this in the interview, but you need to lead the music as well. And I'm like, well, no, we didn't discuss that, but here I am. So, and he said, and we would like to transition the church from traditional to contemporary, which if you're not familiar with that, that means I'm the sacrificial lamb. Move us from hymnals to screens and go to work. So I remember buying a 5-disc changer that we had to vote on in a business meeting. And I put it in the back and I put all these split track CDs. And one of the very first songs I taught the church was Our God is an Awesome God. And I remember Brother Bud in his 80s. I had to train him how to hit the play button. I programmed it. And he'd stand back there. I could see him for any announcements or anything. Bud was standing back there just looking at the CD player. And I'd go like this, and he'd go, and off to the races we'd go with our three songs. And I can remember, I told Amy, I said, they were so generous to me. I was rich at that church. My starting salary was $8,000. And I go back to those days. Amy and I were talking about after the first gathering, how much I just loved those moments, because it was just serving. It had nothing to do with power, authority, control, money. It had nothing to do with any of that. I do remember how awkward I felt. This church had two big thrones on the stage for the pastor and the associate. Anybody remember the thrones that we used to have on stages? This thing went about that tall above my head. Big, beautiful throne. And we would sit there, and I'd look over at Austin. I finally, after a couple months, I looked at him. I go, we look ridiculous up here. I'm sitting around here all, send up a manservant and burn a peasant village. Right? That's what I felt like sitting up there. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm not picking on, I know some of you, you spent your whole life watching your pastor sit in the throne. We don't sit on thrones at this church. We all thank the Lord. We sit in that seat, sir, that you took from me this morning. But I'm glad you took it. And you guess what? You can get up right now and take any seat in here you want, and the person will get up and give it to you. Because we don't own nothing. This is his. So he said, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be the slave of all. And then he's now speaking of himself. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served. This isn't about building it up for people to... No. But to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's how you know. And when we get to Philippians, what do we read? Have this mind in you that is also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he emptied himself. If you want to be a servant, empty yourself. What is Jesus teaching here? We don't leverage authority to maintain power and bless ourselves. That's not at all it. When someone calls me and wants to lead out in a conversation that they tithe at this church, I, in 30 years of ministry, have never had that conversation go well because they think they're entitled to something because of their money. And I have to remind them, that's not how the kingdom works at all. Keep your money. Keep your money because it doesn't bring you special access into the kingdom. And you've seen it happen time and time again with churches, with leaders, with organizations who try to maintain control, power, authority, and image. And what happens is they get to a place, and I'm 30 years into ministry leading Woodland Hills Family Church, and I go back to those moments at Southside Baptist Church in Lakeland, Georgia, and I go, Lord, I miss that. Please, I beg you, give us a 9 and 11 service time structure so we can all be servants. Maintain the heart of a servant. You do not rise in authority. When you are given authority, you are given a great responsibility to leverage that for other people, not yourself. We leverage authority to the benefit and blessing of others. That is how the kingdom works. It's not about keeping control, and it's not about keeping image, and it's not about keeping the money. That's not it at all. We leverage all of our authority. So here's the practical thing you can do this week. When you walk into a room at work and you discover that you're the most influential or powerful or have the most authority in that room, meaning you're the boss, you're the owner, you're the director, you're the manager, whatever it is, and you walk in and there's a room full of people, this should be your attitude. Pause and ask the question, what do these people need from me? because I'm not here to be a benefit and a blessing to me. I'm here to be a benefit and blessing to them. And ask them, how can I help you? How can I serve? Walk in with a there you are, not here I am. Here I am. No, there you are. And often, when people sign up to serve at our church, I understand this. I'm just going to ask you to kind of consider a mind shift today, a change of mind. But they'll ask the questions, you know, or say, here's when I'm available. This is the ministry I want to work in. And this is how often I want to serve. But I want to encourage you to have the mindset of a servant today and ask some different questions. Ask some different questions. How about if you ask, where do you need me? If you want to serve, stop by the Sweet Spot booth and ask, where do you need me? Where's a great need in this ministry? We shared it last week. We teach this to our kids. Take any job until the perfect job comes along. I know what my spiritual gifts are, what my heart motivation is, abilities, personality, and experiences, and I want to give the bulk of my time to that because I believe that's what God's called me to do. But there are plenty of times I have to serve places and do things I don't really want to do. But this is what we all know a servant does. You serve in areas that aren't necessarily 100% in line with, and wait for something. It may be down the road. Ask the question, where do you need me? How often do you need me? How often do you need me to show up? And this is a big one. When should I be there? 7:45. I'd encourage you to get there at 7:40. Because many of you grew up with 5 minutes is on time. 5 minutes early is on time. On time is late. And okay, not everybody grew up that way. But when should I be there? And then the last question is, how long do you need me? How long do I need to serve in this? Now, it's a big question people ask because you'll stop by. We ask people, if you're brand new to our church, we don't want you to jump in and start serving today. We want you to get to know us. We want to get to know you. Got to do a background check. But seriously, some people move here to the Ozarks. They come to church, and the next week they want to be serving. We're like, hey, give it some time. Give it 6 months. Like, let's figure this out. Some of you have been here 6 months. Some of you have been here 6 years. And it is time to serve. You gather, you're faithful to the gathering, but you're not serving. And we want to encourage you to step up into that position of serving. Change your mindset. Serve in areas of need. Be flexible with the time you serve. Be dependable and show up on time. You know, if you're new to this series, I've been ending each message with a letter to my children. My kids are now in their 20s, so my son's getting married in May, and so we're going to be full-on empty nesters. And so this is kind of me looking back on my parenting, but still, I believe parenting is a journey from control to influence. So these letters feel far more like influence, wanting to remind them. I want to encourage you throughout this series to do the same thing. We've been encouraging you to put together a family constitution, but write these letters out. Have them ready for that day that your kids are reading them when you're no longer here. This letter, again, kind of I told you last week, had some attitude in the letter and needed a lot of editing. The first drafts of this letter on Serve the Local Church sounded a little like my resignation. So I had to rework it several times. And you're going to still get the tone of bring out the sheet cake after this. To my kids, you've been part of Woodland Hills your entire life. You now serve in classrooms you grew up in. You've been part of every high and every low. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've gone through every hard season with your mom and me, and you've taken so many hits because I am your dad and pastor. I've been fiercely protective of you, but I couldn't shield you from every attack. Through it all, our family still loves, supports, and serves Woodland Hills. Why? Because we believe that Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. And because we are the church, we submit to Christ. Christ loves the church, and he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant bride without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. We will never give up on the local church because Christ died for us and has called us to serve his bride. Jesus told Peter, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Jesus is still building his church, and it will endure until the end. Pastors, leaders, organizations may fail you, but the church will still be built. I've been your dad and pastor your entire life. I'll always be your dad, but I won't always be your pastor. You'll be led by someone else someday. Serve the church with the same love and enthusiasm that you do now. Have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. I hope to serve alongside you in this church until the Lord calls me home. The church is full of imperfect people. They will let you down. They'll hurt your feelings. They'll waver in their commitments to serve. Don't let that sway you in your walk with Christ or your service to this church. Stay faithful. When people hurt you, take responsibility for your healing. Don't carry it. Blaming church hurt for a bad attitude is a bad excuse. Don't give up. Don't quit. And you know my heart on this. Never settle for just attending church. You may have seasons where you need a break, so take one. But use it to be refreshed, renewed, and replenished for your next assignment. I love you, and I pray that you will always love, support, and serve the local church. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for the work you continue to do at Woodland Hills. May we focus on health and leave all the growth to you. You build this church the way you see fit. Give us wisdom and discernment as leaders. Help no one in this church to ever leverage authority, to leverage what we've been given to the blessing of ourselves, but to the blessing of other people, to the benefit of other people. May this be our heart in everything we do. For the one who has served faithfully this church for years and years and years, I am grateful and I thank you for them. For the one considering serving, guide them, direct them into a place of service here that fills them and grows them and builds relationships throughout this church. And for the one that walks in here today full of selfishness and entitlement because they have never known or relied on the love that you have for them, that today would be the day they repent of their sins. Confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in their heart that he's been raised from the dead, that they will be saved. I pray many turn to Christ today for salvation. Thank you for your continued work here. And we pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Love you, church family. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday.